General Marion became aware that they were short troops here at Fort Fairlawn. So there were not enough troops, British troops, to help guard the fort, the college and castle where the goods were, and Biggin's Bridge. So he sent Hezekiah Mahan and Isaac Shelby here to attack Fort Fairlawn.
Talking about Isaac Shelby of the Over the Mountain Men.
Yes.
You are listening to History Man, the platform for historians, curators, and authors to tell their stories of the American Revolution, walk in the footsteps of heroes, and proclaim freedom reigns. On today's episode, we are with Shanda Phillips in Berkeley County. So Shanda, tell us a little bit about what you do here in Berkeley County.
So I am Shanda Phillips. I am chairman of the Berkeley County Museum. I am vice chair of the Berkeley County 250 Committee, and I also serve on the board of directors for the Berkeley County Historical Society. Thank you for having me, being here with us.
I am so excited about having you here. Well, Berkeley County, we talked leading up to this episode, Berkeley County is really a keystone area for this nation, and it's kind of lost to history. But tell us, give us an overview of what people will see if they came to the Berkeley County Museum and where you can find the museum.
So the museum is located in Old Santee Canal Park, 950 Stony Landing Road. It is $5 admission to get in. We are a partner with Santee Cooper with the Santee Canal Park. One of the things about the museum that is unique here in Berkeley County is this is probably one of the most historically significant sites in Berkeley County. This site actually was part of Fairlawn Barony that was owned by the Colleton family. So they had the Colleton Castle, which we'll talk about in a minute. This site also was the first point or the exit point when people would get on and off of the Old Santee Canal. The canal joined the Santee and the Cooper River, and it was used to carry goods back and forth from the backwoods into Charleston. So this was the point. So Stony Landing is actually named for that because it was a landing, and then they harvest marl from this site that was used for limestone, cement, those various products. So we have the American Revolution. We have a site that is engineering significantly. It was navigating for goods, carrying goods up the river. And then in the Civil War, this is the site that the Little David submarine was also designed and built. And here at the museum, we have a replica of the semi-submersible submarine. And you know you've heard of the Hundley, and you may not have heard of the David. So the Davids were actually a fleet of semi-submersible submarines. One of them was fired on the Union Ironside ship, and it was taken out of commission. And they built 9 of them. A couple of them, one is actually underneath Trad Street in Charleston. We have photographs. One was used to pull the Hundley in and out of practice. And one was taken to West Point for the Union to study the technology. The rest of them were just used as scrap. So we have the Little David, Old Santee Canal, Fort Fairlawn, and the Berkeley Museum is blessed that we're right here located where all of the history took place in Berkeley County. A couple of things unique about Berkeley County is Berkeley County, as you said, is a significant point in the American Revolution. We have the largest number of battles and skirmishes that were fought in the Southern Campaign took place here in Berkeley County. A couple of other things about Berkeley County's history that people don't know, they associate us with Francis Marion, but it's not just Francis Marion.
Well, who else is it?
We have Henry Lawrence. This was his home. Metkin Plantation is his gravesite, his home for his family. His son John Lawrence is buried there, all the Lawrence. An interesting fact about Henry Lawrence is he was one of the first presidents of the Continental Congress, and he's the only American that was held prisoner in the Tower of London. So you can visit his grave site at Mepkin Abbey at any time. The site is open 7 days a week.
Well, where is Mepkin Abbey? I mean, that's not here on the Fairlawn Plantation.
No, Mepkin is not here at Fairlawn. It's actually about 6 miles from off of 402. It is now a monastery.
Wow.
So the owners, 1939, gave it to the Trappistine monks, and now is a monastery. Beautiful grounds, gift shop, meditation garden now to honor the African-American slaves that lived on the plantation. As I mentioned, John Lawrence, and everybody knows John Lawrence for the play Hamilton now. And he is buried right here in Berkeley County. Another American patriot that people don't realize was from Berkeley County is William Moultrie. And his plantation home was on Windsor Hill. Unfortunately, that's now a subdivision. So you can't visit that, but his body was exhumed and moved and now is at Fort Moultrie. And you can visit that gravesite.
Well, Fort Moultrie is not in Berkeley County anymore.
No, it's not.
In fact, Berkeley County was a vast county at the time of the Revolution, right? And then it has kind of been picked off a little bit over the years and turned into other counties. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So Berkeley County actually extended all the way to the ocean. So Mount Pleasant was actually incorporated into Berkeley County and was in part of Berkeley County till about 1862, and then it was split and moved into Charleston County.
So would that mean that Fort Sullivan or Fort Moultrie, where those places are right now, those were all Berkeley County at the time?
Those were originally all Berkeley County.
Right, okay. So Breach Inlet, where the colonists fought back against the British in their first attempt to invade Charleston, that was actually Berkeley County.
That was also Berkeley County at that time.
All right. And then you said that the western part of the county got split off a little bit too.
So then later in the formation of Dorchester County, Berkeley County was also a portion was segmented off to make Dorchester County, and Colleton County also gave up some land for Dorchester County. So that's how Dorchester County came about. I'm not sure of the year of that one. And then finally, with the construction of the lakes, Berkeley County was also, a portion was given to Orangeburg County. So,
well, talk to me a little bit about the canal. The canal was formed or built when?
So the first Santee Canal was built into the 1800s, and it was a series of locks. And it is also, if you reference Dr. Porche's Our Lost Heritage book, that will discuss the lock system. And then he also has a book coming out this spring.
So certainly not during the American Revolution.
No.
Okay. But Fort Fairlawn was.
Yes.
And that was a significant point here? Why Fort Fairlawn? Why did they build a fort here?
To control the river, to control navigation, to stop goods from entering Charleston from the backwoods.
Describe that fort to me.
So, a couple things that are interesting about the fort. It was constructed in a week, which is amazing when you think about technology now, and that it was hand done in less than a week. It's a dirt and wooden earthen fort, also called a redoubt. If you look at the British papers, you'll see it called a redoubt. The Americans, we tend to call it a fort. The walls were 15 foot high. And again, it was constructed in a week. And it's actually laid out in an exact form of a compass.
Really?
So I didn't believe this myself. So we went over to the fort. We opened up our app that says compass, and the corner exactly points each corner to the compass, north, south, east, and west.
Wow.
So to think about that being built at those time periods is a fascinating piece.
So who built them?
So the British built the fort.
So we had Irish building then?
We had Irish, we had Hessians, we probably had slaves also. We've not been able to find documentation on that. We are looking at that. That's part of our 250 research. So the Colleton family owned Fairlawn Barony. They were one of the original owners of the Carolinas. Their first father did not come here, but one of the grandsons actually built a house here.
When you say barony, how is that different than the lord proprietors?
That is just the term that we have found that they use referring to the property. The lord's proprietors are actual people, as barony is the actual property they own.
So was Berkeley one of the lord proprietors?
Yes, it was.
Okay, all right.
But it started with Colleton. When you think that the Colleton would, that would be Colleton County, not over here in Berkeley.
Right.
However, it's here in Berkeley. So the Colleton, John Colleton, him and his wife did come here and they built a home. And from what the documents we've read, it was a large three-story brick home that was built. And they could actually see the river from their home.
Do we have the foundations of where that building is?
Yes,
now?
We do have the foundations.
Okay.
So there is a project later on that we're hoping to develop, which would be an archaeological project of that site. The site is owned by the South Carolina Battlefield Trust.
Okay. So when you say brick home, and I think of the 18th century, which is the 1700s, I think, well, somebody had to have money in order to bring brick, to get brick. Where would that brick come from?
The brick would have been made on site.
Okay. And so they had to bring in brick masons? Who?
They would have brought in any of the tradesmen they needed to build this site.
Do we know where the kilns are?
So one interesting thing about one of the kilns, we know that Fort Fairlawn in the fort actually had a kiln inside the fort. So the Colleton family were loyalists, which is one of your key points for the British who had taken Charleston, who was under siege, and they wanted to stop the goods coming in. So they looked at the Cooper River. That would be a source of goods, so they needed to stop that. How could they stop the navigation of goods coming in? So Colleton, loyalist family, went to their property. They were on the river, construction of a fort.
Okay.
So the fort became one of the documents we were reading. Fort Fairlawn became the most significant outpost between Charleston and Camden.
Okay.
Because of the river, the roads, is it Nelson's Ferry, all of these were points. Because remember, there were no lakes. The lakes were constructed in the 1940s. So this was all straight between Eutaw Springs, Camden, Charleston, the ferries, Biggin's Bridge. There are lots of things. One thing about the fort, too, that I didn't realize till I started going over there, you think of fort, you think of all of this wood structure like we see on TV, or people living in the fort. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the case. The only people that lived in the fort, they were there in shifts. And they would live outside the fort on the grounds.
Okay.
They only came in shifts into the fort.
Would they live in tents? Was it like?
Yes.
Okay.
It was encampments.
Okay. Do you know what units were out here?
There are many units, and we have documents here in the museum that will list who all of the encampments were.
Wow. I was at the Congarees. I was at the Casey Museum up there, and they were telling me, are talking about South Carolina's influence with the British Empire into the back country, even up to Gatlinburg area of Fort Loudoun, building Fort Loudoun up there. And they were talking about state troops that the governor would augment the British troops that would come in on the ships, and they would go on the expeditions to extend the power of the British Empire. And this is before the Revolution. This is, you know, early 1700s, and then getting into the 1760s. So the question I would have is, how far back did the British start putting troops here? Or is this just a Revolutionary War event where they're trying to control the colonists at that point? Or did they try to extend the British power even before that and use Fort Fairlawn to do that?
No. So Fort Fairlawn was constructed in May of 1780.
So yes. this is right there when the British were coming in. I mean, they took Charleston right then. So that's
they took Charleston, and this was the goal. So there were a couple of things that led up to Fort Fairlawn. One was in April 1781, Tarleton had the Battle of Monk's Corner. So lots of people come to Monk's Corner, and the first thing they do is they go eat at Gilligan's Restaurant, or the dock, which is on the river, the Tail Race Canal. People don't realize within a couple of hundred feet that is one of the battles that took place in the American Revolution. So when you're eating there, you're sitting on potential battleground. Is the lakes that were constructed in the 1940s changed the landscape dramatically of Berkeley County. So speaking of the fort, when you go to the fort, you go look at the fort and you say, where's the river? I can't see the river from here. Why would you build this and I can't see the river? Point is, the landscape changed from then. When they constructed the lakes, there was a swamp, or the headwaters, or the Cooper River was called Biggin's Swamp. So the fort was actually built on the headwaters, just a couple of miles down from the headwaters on Biggin's. And when the C.T. Cooper project came through, the construction of the lakes, it changed the headwaters of the Cooper River. So the river now is blocked off from view of the fort because all of that material was dredged out and placed by the fort. It's actually part of a subdivision now that we have homes that live on. So the river came closer to the fort. If you come here to the C&T Canal Park, you'll see that we have a historic home on the grounds, and the river was actually on the front of the house. Now the river is on the side of the house.
So was there actually a battle here?
So we will talk about what happened at Fort Fairlawn. So they had the Battle of Monk's Corner.
Okay.
Tarleton was here, and he wanted to take over Monk's Corner, Biggin's Bridge, all of that area. And the Patriots actually lost that battle.
Okay.
He came in at night. They lost. Patriots scattered in the woods. Colonel Hugie, many of their characters were right here in Monk's Corner. Then after that, Eutaw Springs in September 9th, Battle of Eutaw Springs. Remember, the British have the fort. After the battle, when they're leaving that battle, maybe not in the best way, they leave Eutaw Springs and travel a couple of miles here to Fort Fairlawn to nurse their wounds.
Right.
Again, stop, make sure everything is closed to Charleston. And what happened with the Colleton Castle, it became their hospital. It also became where they stored their weapons, their armory, because there were a lot of outbuildings at the Colleton Castle.
So when you say Colleton Castle, you're talking about the brick structure that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. When you talk with locals, we may say the Colleton Mansion. Documents also call it the Colleton Castle.
I gotcha. All right. Fair enough.
Same with Fort Fairlawn. Locals may say Fort Fairlawn. Fairlawn is one word. Documents, and we've seen it both places. Fairlawn, two words, sometimes one word. So then in November of 1781, General Marion became aware that they were short troops here at Fort Fairlawn. So there were not enough troops, British troops, to help guard the fort, the College and Castle, where the goods were, and Biggins Bridge. So he sent Hezekiah Mayhem and Isaac Shelby here to attack Fort Fairmont.
Talking about Isaac Shelby of the Over the Mountain Men?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes. So they left, and they were coming here and sending out scouts and guides. And the British had already decided they could only protect two areas because there was not enough troops here at Fort Fairmont at that time. So the decision was made to not attack the fort. And some of the documents, a letter from Hezekiah Mayhem states that the fort was too formidable to take. So they decided to go after the Colleton Castle. So they went to the Colleton Castle fully armed, and one of the letters actually says the British pretty much surrendered right there. They found surgeons, a number of wounded, three women, goods, lots of supplies, over 300 arms is in Hezekiah's letters, and they took those items. Any prisoners that could not walk, they actually took the prisoners and horseback bed and took them to Fort Fairmont under a white flag and took the prisoners to Fort Fairmont. Other prisoners were sent to Charleston by horseback or back to the encampment. Now, this is where it gets a little hairy. The Colleton Castle was burned after that episode.
Okay.
The trick is, or the answer is, no one knows who burned it. The British claim the Americans burned it. The Patriots claim the British burned it. There's a letter with Nathaniel Green had written to Francis Marion asking what happened. You're not supposed to burn a hospital. The same rules of engagement of hospitals applied then as they do now. And I think that's been interesting when you start looking at history and you think about what's happening with the world today, and that was the hospital being used to shield arms and goods?
That's interesting. Nice little segue there. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, was it used then, or is it, what's so different than what we see now in the news in hospitals? It's an act of war. And I think that's where we forget about that it was an act of war that was taking place during revolutionary time. So the fort, never fired on, never attacked. Colleton Castle, yes, the British protected the Biggins Bridge and the fort.
I see. So did anyone die?
During that attack on the Colleton? No, they did not. The British pretty much surrendered because they were outnumbered. There was not enough guards at the Colleton Castle.
Are there any stories within the stories of that incident?
Well, that's where it goes back to research. That's where we're trying to do research. Now, the Colleton Castle also has an interesting story in that prior to this incident, Lady Colleton and some of her ladies were accosted by the British before the incident. Now, they were loyalists. And this is documented, and there is a letter in the British where they were severely reprimanded because her hand was also cut, and she was actually transported to Mulberry Plantation by Thomas Broughton, who was another individual in the American Revolution.
I don't understand. Why was she accosted?
No one knows. It goes back to what story you want to tell. But she was a loyalist, and it was the British that had done that. It was a soldier that had... Soldier or soldiers?
I mean, it makes me think that you got all these men around here, and they were trying to push themselves on her, and she may... I mean, yeah. There's all sorts of rabbit holes you could go down and assumptions you can make on that, but that's interesting.
Yes. So that happened before Hezekiah Mayhem and Shelby arrived. When the fort, when the Colleton Castle was being burned, there are records from Fort Fairmont that they could watch the house being burned. They could see the smoke
Wow.
from the burning.
Okay.
Now, after that episode, the fort was abandoned by the British, and the fort has just remained hidden in wood in the woods. It was actually one time even used to cattle, was placed in the fort is a cattle pen. So, but the fort is an interesting place, and in that you can go and visit it. It's one of two here in South Carolina. You can walk the trails here in the Santee Canal Park. You enter the trails through the Berkeley Museum.
When you say one of two here in South Carolina, what do you mean by that? Because we have forts all over South Carolina. What do you mean by that?
A British earthen redoubt fort.
I gotcha.
Yes.
I gotcha.
So right. It's this fort and 96.
Right. Okay. Well, what would you want people to take away from their visit to this, I want to say museum complex, because, you know, you got Fort Fairlawn out there. You also have walking trails, but you have a wonderful museum here. What would you want people to take away from this?
One of the first things would be conservation. So the fort has survived because it was actually hidden with trees, and we were blessed that a developer did not develop over the fort. Mm. So in 2016 is when the Lord Berkeley Conservation Trust purchased 80 acres, which encompassed the fort. One of the things that South Carolina is really facing is we have beautiful and historical areas, but we need that conservation. So this is a great example of coming to the Berkeley Museum and Fort Fairlawn and seeing what a partnership of history and conservation can really do together to preserve these sites. And it's a great nature walk. There's many things you're going to see on that trail that you may not get to see anyplace else. So one of our goals is conservation, protection of history, historical sites. We want people to come and learn about Berkeley County's role in the American Revolution. Francis Marion is Berkeley County's patriot, and we all like to claim him. And Francis Marion is buried here in Berkeley County. So we have a born here, lived here, died here. We have a very good tie to Francis Marion. However, there are many other patriots that we want to talk about and people need to learn about, being the Lawrence family, William Moultrie. There's stories that we're still trying to discover of women and African Americans and their role. Unfortunately, so many of those stories are just undocumented because they were not the writers of the stories. So one of the things I think we're hoping for is people come here. Maybe you may know a story. Maybe you have a relative. Or maybe you heard a story growing up that would help point us in the right direction. You might have an artifact. One of the things with Fort Fairlawn is we've had a number of archaeological digs, and we have the items that were removed from Fort Fairlawn here. One of the items was a silver button. Now, the Lord Berkeley Conservation Trust does have that button, and they periodically bring it out for the tours. So one of the things that happen in Berkeley County is twice a year we have battlefield tours. It is a great partnership with the Berkeley County Museum, South Carolina Battlefield Trust, and the Lord Berkeley Conservation. And you can actually come to the various battle sites here in Berkeley County. And we have a tour guide. And you get to eat lunch on the grounds of Metkin. And you can go and visit and pay homage to Henry and John Lawrence.
That's a great outing for anyone that's a historical buff. You know, that's great. In the museum itself, I know that that I walked back through there the last time I visited here, and it takes you through a time where the Indians were part of this community. And I know that even within the next day or so, you have a tribal meeting or tribal gathering out here. On the grounds. Walk us through the timeline in your museum here.
So the Berkeley County, it is self-guided, but it is a timeline in history of Berkeley County. We have a number of fossils that have been retrieved from the Cooper River that are local, and we have a local dive group that has lent us these items to have on display. Interesting story is we have an alligator head here in the museum, and we have lots of school children that come and visit. And one of the school children asked our director, she asked him, "What do you think that is?" And he says, "I don't know. What do you think it could be?" And his response was, "Is it a dinosaur?" The museum has a lot of interesting things that help people understand the history of not just Berkeley County, but all of South Carolina. So when you talk about Native Americans, an interesting piece about Native Americans here in Berkeley County is the Etowah tribe. So the Etowah tribe actually was on the Neck or Oyster Point of Charleston. And then they were pushed into Daniel Island. Remember, Daniel Island was all is part of Berkeley County. Then later they were pushed from Daniel Island into what now we refer to as Wassamasal Swamp. It's just a geographic location. And that tribe and that family still exist. They're a blend of many different tribes because some of them were taken as slaves, but that's where they were located. And now they're a state federal recognized tribe, and they're working on their federal recognition. So we have a partnership with them on our Native American exhibit. So the Berkeley County Museum, in partnership with Santee Canal Park and Lord Berkeley Conservation Trust, we have an annual Colonial Day event. So Colonial Day is the last weekend in September. This year it will be September 28th. During that day, we have reenactors here. We have lectures. We have tours going back to the fort from the museum. Those are actually golf cart tours. You have a lot of individuals that are unable to walk the mile from the museum to the fort, so we run golf carts nonstop. We also have tours and a guide that will guide you through Fort Fairlawn and tell you all the stories. We have cannon crews come, so you get to fire the cannons. The various needlework vendors, we had a blacksmith here. All things that are colonial times, colonial games for the children. We also involve our high school beta club as volunteers to work the event. Sweetgrass makers, the Wassamasal Indians also will be here. So this is our large event, and it is also a fundraising event for the museum. So the profits for that day stay here locally with the museum. We will serve you food, and it may be barbecue, but you will have food also. It is all day. We do publish it on the museum website and social media. You can follow it there. We will also be telling you the lecture series. Last year, we had the gentleman that does the Charleston Supper Club come and talk about colonial food. We've had groups from Camden speak on the burials. So each year we rotate lectures, so you have to look and see what lectures we will have each year.
How can they reach you?
BerkeleyCountyMuseum.org. We're on social media. Please follow us on Facebook. We're trying to get our likes up and our followers. We have an Instagram account also. The phone number is 843-899-5101. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4 every day. We will also be partnership with the Santee Canal Park for our other events such as Oyster Rose. You mentioned the Wassamasal Indian, their powwow is October 14th, I believe.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.